You're listening to The Team.
You're killing me, Smalls.
The Team, 92.1 FM, Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
Welcome back. It is The Drive with Jack, The Team, 92.1 FM. Today's show brought to you by Church Weibel and our co-host Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal sports columnist. I want to thank the Nashville Rebel, Joe Rexrode, for joining us. And stay tuned. Denzel Valentine will join us. Terry Denbo will be here for the 4 to 5 hour at issue. And Denzel will be with us at about 4:20 in the 5 o'clock hour. Jay Billis of ESPN and Dick Hoops Weiss, New York Daily News. Welcome in Dr. John H. Braccio, renowned clinical psychologist, educational consultant, and Renaissance man, the master of assessments. It's our Psychologically Speaking segment, brought to you by Regional Psychological Services and DrJohnB.com. Hello, John.
Hello there, my friends. I want to keep in my good mood so Graham's can I can maintain my reputation with him always being in a good mood, and I am, by the way.
Oh, man. I'm just fascinated by what it would take. I mean, that's the psychological. I mean, this actually bewilders me. I mean, so I'm going to give you a scenario, and I want to know your mood. Michigan State is losing to Middle Tennessee State by 7. At that moment, and they lose the game. At that point, Josh Jackson picks Michigan, and Jim Harbaugh, and Mark D'Antonio steps down, and Jim Harbaugh joins the presidential campaign.
Well, I think I'd go over to the Bluegill Grill. How does that sound? How does it have a drink? Now I have to admit, that would definitely set me back a little bit. How does that sound?
Okay, all right.
A bunch of counter punches I'd try, but that would be, yeah, you definitely picked a tough set of problems
to overcome. That's not realistic. I am going to spend this next week working on realistic circumstances that could bring you down.
That's going to be our segment next week. What could depress Dr. John Braccio?
Well, listen, you can try, guys, but given all the alternatives, I find being in a good mood is a lot better.
What about a presidential election night if the candidate that you absolutely hated for this country is elected?
You know, the beauty is we can survive people that we went for in office. My general feeling is we all, whoever wins, we try to support them. But I go by my dad's view. He said, never have an election change your life, John. Make sure you're able to.
I can't bring him down, guys. I can't do it.
What if I told you Patty Duke died today?
Well, that would be unfortunate. It did happen, by the way.
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be because she was really a person that you could identify with as a person from the past and what she's done.
So, Patty and Kathy, the twins. That.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? From the Patty Duke show.
That's right.
She played both of them.
And the other thing is she was in the Miracle Worker, which
yes.
is one of my
she was.
Great movie, but also one of my top three horror films of all time. Like, no, when I was a little kid, no movie scared me more than Patty Duke's rendition of Helen Keller. Like, it was scary. It was a black and white, and I mean, it was scary. I watched it later, and you learned to appreciate the film, and everybody should see it. It's a fantastic film.
That is a great. Boy, I haven't seen that in many years.
And
you're
Bancroft.
Right,
yeah, but it scared the heck out of me when I was like 9 years old. I mean, it was, and so I remember that feeling. I saw the picture today when she, you know, the. Said she had passed the Miracle Worker.
Might do that tonight, actually.
Watch that?
In tribute, I might watch the Miracle Worker.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about the reaction of Michigan State fans, because we don't disagree on a lot, a few things, but I think Michigan State fans have handled this about as well as I ever could have anticipated, and I think for the most part, they're off the ledge.
Well, could I use the word? Maybe shocked would be a better word.
Okay.
I think that MSU people are shocked, and personally, I feel bad for Denzel, and I think a lot of MSU fans do too, because I think we do feel he's the most complete player in the country in terms of being able to all the things he does, you know, for a team. So the way the game was lost, I think that was very sad. I will tell you one thing though, on that given day, Middle Tennessee was the better team. I mean, they basically, whatever, you know, when you can hit a 26-foot three-point shot when you're not even a three-point shooter, that kind of gives you an idea of the kind of game that you're going to have. But I feel that MSU people are shocked. I think people, I know people who are planning to go to Chicago, okay, already had everything all set, figured the path was clear. So I think it was disappointing. I think it was shocking to many people. And I think people may be dealing with it, but I know people that aren't watching the tournament at all. They can't wait for it to end. So I think we'd better, it may not be, say, overly horrible, but I'll say a big disappointment, kind of shocking and hard for MSU people who are so used to going to the Final Four and actually overachieving versus underachieving.
I bet you there were more Detroit Tigers ticket requests and checking out the roster and lineups and opening day and from among Michigan State fans than usual this year. People just ready to move forward. And you talked about booking Chicago. Our guest next hour, Denzel Valentine, he had friends who were going to be down in Houston with him when he goes later this week,
right?
Because they had already bought tickets.
Yeah, well, this, I think,
you can watch him in a three-point shootout.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to play every game. You can't count on it being over. And I think underdog every now and then rises up and has a heck of a game. But I do really feel the one positive thing on that day, it may have been only 1-20, but they really came to play and they won the game. It's not that we played so horribly. We scored 81 points. It just was, it was their day, and every now and then you're going to run into some. And Michigan State's had a lot of games like that over the years where they won.
And we heard from Jim Boeheim yesterday. We said we weren't going to beat Michigan State. I'm just telling you.
That was salt in the wounds, I think, for a lot of MSU fans.
We couldn't have beat that team, so we're really happy that they got knocked out in the first round. And, you know, Michigan State probably did have a better chance to beat Syracuse than did Middle Tennessee when you look at Middle Tennessee's makeup and what they had.
Well, it to me, it's the problem with upsets. And look, the tournament is built on upsets. I've enjoyed them at other teams' expenses much of my life, as we all have. But it's like when you watch a great U.S. Open match and Andre Agassi gets taken out in the first round by some no-name, unranked guy who then loses in the second round. And look, to me, if you're going to pull the upset, then man up and play that way the rest of the tournament. You've already ruined my enjoyment of being able to watch Andre Agassi. That said, you know, it's still, I think people can take a little solace in this. It wasn't a collapse by Michigan State. It was a bad performance. But on that day, it was a team playing incredible. And punching him in the mouth.
I agree. I think that is totally accurate. I think it's much worse the way that Wisconsin lost, as an example, or the way Kansas kind of collapsed at the end. And we had a couple chances to come back with a couple three-pointers in the last couple of minutes of the game. Just didn't make them. I mean, it was one of those days you feel bad, but you don't really condemn the team. You're proud of the team, proud of the players. But personally, I just feel that Denzel, who's still having an amazing All-American year, great accolades, I still would love to have seen him played, love to have seen him in the Oklahoma game. But again, you know, we're on earth. You know, we're not in heaven, as my mother said. So, you know, you got to take each day as it comes and look forward to the next day.
Very quickly, the departure of Marvin Clark Jr. and Javon Bess. And, you know, they say that one door closes, another one opens, however you want to look at that. But it seemed to be amicable. I think Tom Izzo actually used the phrase amicable divorce today.
Yes.
And, you know, it's probably a good thing for them in terms of their opportunity to have playing time. And it might be a good thing for Michigan State. Certainly Kenny Goins deserves a scholarship, and it'd be nice to have one if Josh Jackson decides that he might like to stop in East Lansing for a year.
Well, you know, my feeling was something. I worry about something like this just from the experience in team chemistry. You know, the principle of additivity, when you add something and take something out, you don't exactly know what you can end up with. And I don't say that in a bad way. This is probably good for them on paper. It may not look like they were going to play that much, and Izzo may have been honest with them and said, you're not going to play that much. But I'm always wary when experienced people leave a team and you're counting on a lot of players coming in that haven't played before, and we don't know how they'll all play together. So just a little wary psychologically the impact it has on the team. But I certainly wish them the best and certainly wish MSU the best next year.
Yeah, in terms of guys leaving a program, you get all different circumstances, gentlemen. And sometimes there's bitterness. Sometimes there's vindictiveness. In this case, Tom Izzo is actively trying to place them.
Yeah, and sometimes it's stunning. Yeah, you think about the difference between like a summer night, you get a tweet from Kenny Kaminsky a couple years ago, or you think about this kind of surprising nature of a couple years ago, the kid who went to Arizona State in Detroit started as a freshman. Good radio when you can't think of it.
Brandon
Kearney.
Yes.
And so it happens. This is the best way for it to happen when it's going to happen, because there is nobody better. If you're a player, if you can have somebody like Tom Izzo helping you, it is better than doing it on your own, unless you have a clear-cut place you want to go, because he will help them find fit and good coaches and good experiences. He will help them be able to help them navigate things that they may not be able to see themselves as they go through a recruiting process essentially all over again.
Makes sense. Graham, you said, couldn't say it any better. How does that sound? I mean, I'm agreeing with Graham all the time these days.
So, John, are you going to be watching the Final Four? Can you bring yourself to that?
Sure.
Who do you want to win?
I'm a basketball fan. I mean, I'm more of a football, I've got to be honest. But sure, I'll watch these games.
Who do you want to win?
I think, believe it or not, I would probably like to see Villanova win.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe my old Catholic is coming out here. It may sound funny, but I guess Oklahoma, I've got a little, this is a bad feeling, a little petty, but because I'd rather them not win because of obvious reasons, Denzel comes back to my mind.
Well, hey, the school that went to the college football playoff and the Final Four in the same year.
Yeah, and North Carolina, it's hard for me to recruit, to be favoring them. So overall, I guess I will go with Villanova, even though whoever wins, I wish them all the luck in the world.
Your vote has been recorded. All right, John, thanks so much. We'll be back in just
a
minute.
Bye-bye.
We're going to have Terry Denbo here. It's our At Issue Hour up next.